We're going to turn this evening to Matthew's Gospel and to chapter 20, Matthew chapter 20. And we'll read some verses beginning at the 20th verse, Matthew 20, verse 20. And here it's speaking, of course, of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshipping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, What wilt thou? She saith unto him, Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on the left, in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, Ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They say unto him, We are able. And he saith unto them, Ye shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. And when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. But Jesus called them unto him and said, Ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Amen. And may the Lord bless the reading of his word. In our prayer meetings, we've been studying together some of the petitions, some of the prayers of Scripture that were either unanswered or that received a negative answer from God, when the Lord basically said no to the petition. There's quite a number of those. The last time we considered the prayer of the Pharisee in the temple, and we learned from that all praying of that kind is Pharisaical praying. In Luke chapter 18, we find that as this man stood to pray, in reality it was not a true prayer at all, because it was a prayer without any reverence. The Bible shows us, by way of contrast to the publican, that this man stood in an arrogant and proud fashion, and it was as if he was doing God a favor by approaching unto him. There was no reverence, no humility in his approach. He rushes arrogantly into God's presence, or so he thinks. I don't believe he ever really entered the presence of God in any real sense. The Pharisees, of course, were noted for their pride and their lack of real reverence in prayer. Jesus said that they prayed for a show, to be seen of men. But you contrast the reverent attitude of the publican, who smote on his breast. He wouldn't even lift up his eyes to heaven, but he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's how we should approach the Lord, with reverence, with fear, remembering who it is that we're coming before. The prayer of the Pharisee, though, got no answer, because he prayed without any reverence. He also prayed without any repentance. Again, contrast the publican. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus taught us that if we're going to pray correctly, one of the things that we have to pray is, and forgive us our trespasses. Forgive us our sins. This man didn't do that. The Pharisee did not mention one sin or one fault. He never confessed anything. And yet, we know that our best duties are mixed with sin, and they need the cleansing of the blood. And so, you study the prayers of men of God in the Bible, and you will find that confession of sin was a big part of those prayers. Prayer without reverence, prayer without repentance, and then prayer without any requests. He never asked the Lord for anything. He just said, Lord, I thank thee that I'm not like other men. I'm not like this publican even. And I do this, and I do that, and I do the other thing. There was not one single request. All he did was to tell God things. But he never asked anything from the Lord. And when we come to pray, it should be with definite requests and definite petitions. You have not, because you ask not, the book of James says. But today we want to look at another prayer, in the Gospels. It's Matthew chapter 20, and it's a prayer that also got a no answer. And we're going to discover here some reasons why many other prayers get a negative answer as well. Notice with me Matthew 20, verses 20 and 21. And you'll see there the approach that was made that was proper. The approach that was proper. Then came to him, that's to Jesus, the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshipping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, What wilt thou? She saith unto him, Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on the left, in thy kingdom. So here you have an approach that was proper. There is a right way to approach the Lord. There's a way not to approach the Lord. But here's the thing that I have to say about this. Even when you come the right way, and you follow all the rules, if you like, of prayer, not that there are things, you know, you've got to do this and then this and then this and then this, but when you look at the scripture, there are sometimes even unwritten rules of approaching unto God. There's invocation, worship of God, and there are confessions, and then there are prayers, and then there's more adoration of God, like in the Lord's Prayer you have this pattern prayer. But even when we come the right way, we may still not get the answer that we seek. Here's a woman, and her name is Salome. We find that from another scripture. The mother of Zebedee's children, Salome. And she and her sons came to the Lord in the right manner, in the right way, providing a good example to all who would approach God, even ourselves. Notice how they did come with the proper approach. They came with a reverence of spirit. We talked about the Pharisee not coming with reverence. But look at verse 20 of Matthew 20. They came worshipping him. They came worshipping. You see, Christ is truly God, and they recognize that. Prayer, true prayer, is worship. And when we come to church, it ought to be for worship first and foremost, and then fellowship. Some folks have it the other way around. The church is like a social club. It's for fellowship and then worship. But that's the wrong priority. It's worship first. It's the Lord first, and then fellowship with others second. Here they came to worship. And I'm reminded of a scripture in the Old Testament, Exodus 19, verse 17, where the Bible speaks of Moses and the children of Israel. Exodus 19:17 says, And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. And that's really the purpose for coming to the Lord's house. That's the reason why we come to the prayer meeting. It is to meet with God. They came with a reverence of spirit. But then they also came with a request that was specific. And I think that's worthy of note. Matthew 20, verse 20 tells us that they were not only worshipping him, but desiring a certain thing of him. She had for her sons, but they were part of it, an actual desire. They wanted something fulfilled by the Lord. But this really teaches us, before I come to the reason why it wasn't the kind of request that it should have been, they did come with a request that was specific. And we need to have definite petitions in view when we come to the Lord. Sometimes I will speak of umbrella prayers. You know what umbrella prayers are? Everything is covered by that prayer. Lord, bless all the missionaries in the world. Well, okay, but shouldn't we pray for specific missionaries? Shouldn't we have particular people, particular mission fields, particular needs in mind when we pray? There's nothing wrong with saying, Lord, bless the missionaries of our church, but it's good to make it specific and come praying for definite things. That's why in our prayer meetings, for example, I like to bring, usually each week, requests from our other congregations that are listed in the current, because those are specific things that we want the Lord to do. And those people have asked for those things to be prayed for, so we should be praying with petitions. Philippians 4, verse 6. Let your requests be made known unto God. And in private, it's a good thing as well to have a prayer list. If you need that, if you have a mind like mine, then you won't be able to remember all the things that you need to pray for, so it's good to write it down. They came with a request that was specific. They came with a reverence of spirit. But then they came with a regard to Scripture, because the statements God had made and also the promises of Jesus were in their minds. How do you know? Well, if you look at verse 21, the Lord said, "What wilt thou?" In other words, what do you want to pray for? What do you want me to give you? And that's what the Lord, by the way, says to us when we come to pray. What do you want me to give you? What is it that you've come here to pray for? And here we have the words in the answer. Verse 21, she saith unto him, "Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on the left, in thy kingdom." Now, where did she get that from? Go back to chapter 19 and verse 28. And Jesus said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me," and of course the sons of Zebedee were among those, "ye which have followed me, in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." So the Lord had actually told them, "Look, you that have followed me, you're going to sit with me on 12 thrones." So this woman has this in mind. And she's thinking, well, there's going to be these 12 thrones. Lord, I would like it if my two sons could be sitting the closest to your throne, the one on the right hand and the other on the left, in thy kingdom. Now, some people have criticized this, and I'll come to that in a moment or two. But I really believe this woman had the best of motives. She really did. She had the best of motives, and furthermore, she had a regard to the Word of God in her petition, because she was pleading what Jesus had just said in chapter 19, verse 28. She was asking for something that she thought was right, that she thought was actually implicit in what Christ had promised. Now, when we pray, we should plead the promises of God. David said in his prayer in the Old Testament, "Lord, do as thou hast said. Do as thou hast said." We should bring the Scriptures back to the Lord when we pray. And yet, for all their correctness, Salome and her sons were not granted their request. Why? Well, I want to come to the second point. The approach that was proper, we've noted. Notice now the answer that was prevented. Verse 22, "But Jesus answered and said, Ye know not what ye ask." You don't know what you're asking. You don't know what you've just asked me for. If you knew what you just asked, you wouldn't have asked. And you come on down that same verse. "Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They say unto him, "We are able." And the Lord went on to tell him, "Yes, you will be baptized with the same baptism as me." And he wasn't talking about water baptism. He was talking about his sufferings. He was talking about the persecution that they would receive for his sake. But then he said, "To sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father." And when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. The rest of them were really angry because of what they had asked. Now, it seems to me, looking at this, the Lord did not grant this request for at least two reasons. One, ignorance. Their ignorance. "Ye know not what ye ask." And that reminds me immediately of what Paul said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought." You see, we're just like them. We're full of ignorance when we come to the throne of grace. "But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." You see, if we knew all the implications of what we sometimes pray for, we would not pray for those things at all. Some people pray that the Lord will grant them more patience, and so they find that immediately from then on, for months afterwards, there's lots and lots of tribulation in their lives. They think, well, why is that? Because tribulation worketh patience. That's what happens. You don't know what you're praying for sometimes. Lord, I would like to see revival come. Well, if revival came, there's going to be a lot of changes that would take place. And people don't always know what it is that they're asking for. Salome and her two sons were ignorant, and they were especially ignorant of God's will as they made this request. I believe that this woman and her sons were anxious that they might share in the glory of the Lord's throne, but they forgot that the sufferings of the cruel tree had to come first before the glory of the throne. They're asking, Lord, can we sit at your right hand and in your left when you sit on your throne in your kingdom? Well, don't forget this. I have a baptism to be baptized with. I have to go to the cross. I have to suffer yet. Luther commented on this. The flesh ever seeks to be glorified before it is crucified. That's what the flesh wants. We want the glory without the sufferings. And the Bible teaches us that there's always the suffering before the glory. If you suffer with him, you shall also reign with him. No cross, no crown. This mother and her sons forgot that the cross had to come first, before the crown. And we might criticize their prayer, but we're prone to make rash or thoughtless requests in prayer as well, because we're often ignorant of what it is that we're really asking for. That's why we need to say, Lord, teach us to pray. Ignorance was one thing. Another one, insensitivity. In one sense, we can admire this as a spiritual request, because this woman didn't ask for riches for her sons. She didn't ask that they might be lifted up in this life. She didn't ask for material blessings in this life. No, she asked, when the Lord said, what do you want? What wilt thou? I want my two sons to sit close to your throne. That was a spiritual request. It really was. But it was the wrong request. They didn't ask for earthly prosperity. They asked for greatness in eternity and not for worldly fame. How unlike so many today. How many preachers are there, and the hook that they try to catch sinners with is the promise of prosperity. The promise that, you know, if you want to have this, that, or the other thing financially, the Lord will give it to you. Name it and claim it. But it's an appeal to people's covetousness. It's not an appeal to their spiritual mindedness. And yet, it could also be looked upon this not only as a spiritual request on one hand, to be near the Lord's throne, but as a selfish petition, because in a sense, they were insensitive, this woman and her two sons. They were insensitive to the feelings and desires of the other disciples. Because what if the other disciples had wanted to sit one on the right hand and one on the left of his throne? Rather than those two. They wanted the two positions nearest the throne. But what if those positions were reserved for some of the other disciples? So, you see, it might have been, at the very least, a thoughtless request. And we can be insensitive to the needs and desires of others, even other Christians, but let it not be our attitude that as long as we're blessed, it doesn't matter about other people. I think that's a sad thing. I was reading the other day some work by Richard Baxter of Kidderminster, an old Puritan, and he talked about how that so many churches, even in his day, and we're talking way back in the 17th century, when they prayed for their work, it was as if their particular denomination or their particular group was the entire Church of God. And he said, that's wrong. And he mentioned various denominations that he knew that were faithful at that time. We need to be not taken with pride and selfishness in prayer, but thinking of others. But there's one other thing here. Let's notice further in this portion the announcement of a prospect. And what was the prospect? They wanted to sit on the right hand or the left in the throne. But look at verse 22 and 23. The Lord said, you know not what you ask. Are you able to drink of the cup that I drink of? To be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They said unto him, we are able. And he said, ye shall indeed drink of my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. In other words, you're not going to have what you think you would like to have. At least not yet. God will give you the cross that leads to the crown. You're going to suffer. You're going to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. Before you ever think about sitting on the throne, you're going to have to go to the cross, as it were, suffering that you might reign with him. What Jesus was really saying here was, you've asked for this particular request, but I'm telling you that God's great plan and purpose for you is going to be accomplished. The Lord's going to give you what you need and not necessarily what you want. Now, the Lord could have given James and John crowns of honor, but they weren't prepared for that yet. The road to that privileged position was costly and hard. As the Bible says in the Proverbs, the way to honor is humility. Before honor is humility. Sometimes we may ask for things that we're not yet fully prepared for, and so the Lord's not going to grant the request now at this moment, but he will later on. He will later. Just like the promise of Habakkuk 2 verse 3, though it tarry, wait for it, it will surely come. It will not tarry. We may not yet be ready for revival, and the Lord knows that. In the case of Salome and her sons, it was not the will of God to grant the answer to their petition as they stated it. Just the way that they prayed for it, it was not the will of God to give them it in that way. And so I emphasize again, when we pray, we must ever submit to the will of God. We should always put that caveat in. Lord, if it be thy will, if it's according to your will. Give you an illustration. Sometimes we might know a person, even a family member, who is gravely sick. And we might pray, Lord, we would love to see this person healed of this sickness. We would love to see them raised up to health and strength. And sometimes the Lord will grant that petition. And he will answer that prayer, and he will heal that person. But sometimes he'll do the healing in a different way. He'll take that person to glory. He'll let that person be taken to heaven. And that's the ultimate healing. My mother was having a conversation with my little nephew one day, and he was talking about how the Lord Jesus used to heal blind people, and how that there's so many people today, and they don't get healed that way. And he kind of wanted to know why that was. And my mother explained to him, well, sometimes people get very old and their eyesight gets bad, and they take these diseases in their eyes, and they do go blind. But she said, whenever they go to heaven, the Lord will deal with that. And he looked at my mother and he said, yes, Jesus will give them new eyes. And that's true, in a sense. The Lord makes all things new. The Lord doesn't always give us what we ask of him. We might want someone to be healed physically, and we pray, Lord, if it's your will, give them some more years of life. Like Hezekiah, he prayed, he said, Lord, I'm not ready to die yet. Would you please give me some extra time on this earth? And the Lord did. The Lord lengthened his life by 15 years. But there were others in Scripture, and their life wasn't lengthened. It was shortened. The Lord allowed them to die. And so we must ever submit to the will of God. Thy will be done on earth, even as it is in heaven. So friends, the Lord knows what's best for us. He knows best what to give us and when to give it to us. Not my will, but thine be done was the prayer that Jesus prayed, and we must also pray that prayer. It has to be our constant attitude. Lord, not my will, but thine be done. And if there's something that we desire, but God will not give it to us, it's because he wants to give us something better. That's always true. The Lord doesn't say no to his people for no good reason. The Lord will say no sometimes to a petition because what he's going to give us is better for us. So we trust his will. We trust his wisdom. The Lord said, you shall indeed drink of my cup. You will be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with, but to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. And then he went on to speak about servitude and about how that whoever will be great among you should be your servant, your minister. Whosoever will be chief among you let him be your servant, even as, and he speaks about himself, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. We would like to sit on the throne, and we'd like to be positioned right next to the Lord. And in a sense, that will happen for all of God's people. But there is a cross that leads to the crown. There's a lot of suffering to be done in the meantime, and we can't always have right now what we would like to have eventually. But the Lord teaches the lessons that we need to learn even from this prayer. The Lord knows best, and he will give us those things that he sees are for our good and for his glory. Amen.